listen to today's Ross Report for all the updates. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Ross Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, July 21st, here at Gillette Stadium. Today we have Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, and Brian Lowe to give you all the updates on the roster and their thoughts on training camp for next week.
And it is the Patriots Roster Report, the final roster report before training camp begins. I'm Brian Lowe along with Paul Perillo and Tom Casale. And as we record this week's podcast, we are 1 week to the minute that we will be outside watching the first Patriots training camp practice for 2006. Very exciting times indeed.
I can hardly contain my excitement, Brian.
None of us can.
My voice has been cracking all morning. I can hardly contain myself.
I can vouch for that. And this is, we are about to embark on our final weekend of no football practices or games, which is sort of interesting. Of course, we do have a tropical storm hitting the horizon in the next few hours.
So. Well, as Jerry Remy said in the Red Sox game this week, it was more of a depression, right? A tropical depression.
Well, he knows better than I do. I'll let him make the call on what these are exactly called. We do have a few roster transaction notes. Nothing that's going to
big news.
Nothing that's going to completely alter the direction of the team for 2006 necessarily, at least in my opinion. But the Patriots on Thursday did waive offensive tackle Jeff Roll. He was signed as a free agent originally by the Patriots before the start of the 2005 season. Actually, I'm sorry, at the end of the 2005 season, then released prior to the start of the 2005 season, and he came back at the beginning of this calendar year and spent some time in NFL Europe. In my opinion, when a player on the roster gets released 1 week before camp, he did something that the team just said, okay, we don't need this guy on the team because, I mean, there's virtually no roster limits at this point. I don't know what Jeff Roll did to not even get a chance at training camp, but he will not be in the mix for any backup tackle spots for 2006.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe there was a situation where, he's a guy who has played a little bit in the league.
Wouldn't he have a roster exemption himself?
Yeah,
being an
Yeah. Well, he would have. Yeah, I think maybe he looked at things and maybe confronted. And this is total speculation. I'm just you said to me something had to happen. This is something that could have happened. Maybe he looked at the situation in terms of the depth chart, and there's a lot of pretty experienced offensive linemen. This might be the most experienced group of offensive linemen that Scarnecchio is going to have to work with heading into camp. And maybe he looked at things and didn't feel like he had much of a shot, and he went to the coaches and said, let's, be straight with me, as we get into camp here, realistically, what are my chances? And maybe they were honest with him and said, you know what, Jeff? It doesn't look good, barring injuries or, whatever, it probably doesn't look good, and he might have asked for his release and, with a chance to maybe hook on somewhere else. Maybe he's injured and just doesn't feel like, it's worth going through camp or something like that. There could be a lot of reasons, but I don't really see him having much of a shot. I didn't see him having much of a shot to make the roster anyway.
There are now 17 players on the Patriots roster at offensive line, which is quite a bit. And if you figure probably eight make the final roster, that's nine more, even after Jeff Roll's release, nine more that aren't going to make the team. And there certainly are a handful of guys who are pretty much locks, barring any injuries.
Yeah, I agree with Paul. I don't think any Patriots over in NFL Europe have a chance to make the team.
I
think it's a down time of year, and people like to watch and see how those guys are doing and say, well, this guy's got a chance, but I just feel this team sends over guys that really don't have much of a chance to make the team in the first place.
Right. They're looking at best a practice squad spot, and it's not like you can completely dismiss that, because we've certainly seen players be elevated from the practice squad to the full roster in the middle of the season.
Add definitely practice squad, a couple of practice squad slots, to that eight that you said, because I agree eight's probably the number for the 53-man, but
right.
One will definitely be on the practice squad, and occasionally there's been two.
Right, and just looking at some of these guys on the roster at offensive line, for sure, at least as long as they're healthy, the 53-man roster will include Matt Light, will include Dan Copen, and then obviously Nick Kazier, Logan Mankins, I mentioned Dan Copen, Stephen Neal, and then you've got guys in the next sort of group, including Gene Merchkowski.
Hochstein's a lock
contract extension.
And of course, he can play center as well. And you've got, Billy Yates on the roster, Ross Tucker, Nick Stites, a couple of the draft picks from this year, including Dan Stevenson and Ryan O'Callaghan. So there is a glut of offensive linemen, and certainly you figure one or two of them will be on the practice squad. They like to develop their offensive lineman.
And I would think every one of those names that you just mentioned, Brian, is probably ahead of Jeff
Wesley
Reel.
Wesley Britt is another one who, the, they like.
Yeah, no, on the depth, I would put Wesley Britt ahead of him as well.
No question about it. And some of the other guys who were this year undrafted free agents, like Brian Barthelmes, Randy Hand, I think that's about it from undrafted. You know, these are guys that he's really competing with. He's not competing with the Hochsteins and Nick Cashers of the world. He's competing with the lower level guys. And you're right. He probably looked at the situation.
And like Paul said, maybe he came to the team, but maybe the team had some of those undrafted free agents ahead of him and went to him and said, we really don't see it having much of a chance here. We want to give you your release so maybe you can possibly catch on somewhere else. It goes both ways.
Of course,
like
we could also find out that he was out working out at a practice and, told Dante to, go stick something where the sun don't shine or something, and, he ended up getting released as a result.
The bottom line is that the loss of Jeff Roll will not affect the New England's chances of being in Miami.
It's too bad.
And not that it matters, at this point, but I was told by a member of the Patriots Media Relations Department, and whenever I get anything from the Media Relations Department, I'm quick to say that that's where I got it because I don't want any responsibility for if it's incorrect. I don't want to take any responsibility, but I'm told that it's pronounced Reel. And not Roll. Jeff Reel.
Well, who cares?
Okay.
We'll never need to know that.
We shouldn't have to worry anymore. Meanwhile, the Patriots are up to four, count them, four of their 10 draft picks who have signed on the dotted line. Most recently, Ryan O'Callaghan and Garrett Mills earlier this week. Last week, Dan Stevenson and Willie Andrews. Clearly, they are taking care of the second-day picks first. I don't think there's any surprise there. They're much probably less contentious negotiations, but none of the top several picks have signed yet. Still waiting on that. We still have 1 week to go. At this point, hard to say whether or not there'll be any training camp holdouts. But four of the 10, less than 50%, have signed with 1 week left to go before training camp starts. Any thoughts on the situation there?
I think it's going along pretty smoothly. I don't see any problems with the rookies. If there's going to be a training camp holdout, I think we know who that's going to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a separate point. Yeah, Deion Branch.
I don't see any of those rookies holding out. And like I think we stated before, the only one that could possibly be a little sticky is Chad Jackson because he may want first round money.
By the way,
you getting a signing bonus? PVN signing bonus?
Well, as you know, I don't like to talk about my personal situation.
He's getting a lot of that money backloaded.
Well, and he also gets, it's not so much that what he gets up front is what he earns in the endorsement deals, in the autograph signings.
Right.
We're not privy to that kind of extra money.
No, I don't want you to be jealous, so I don't like to tell you about what I'm getting for that.
But you will be at camp, though.
I'll be making appearances at camp, sure, right. Sure.
As a point, and I agree
to the draft picks.
I agree with Tom that I'm not overly concerned at this point, but I would say, we're talking about it in terms of a week, and I would say it's really a weekend here because I think that the rookies and some of the some veterans who are coming off injuries and whatnot will probably be out on that field early next week, probably Monday. So I think there's a little bit less time than maybe it appears in terms of the July 28th official opening of camp, which is a week from today.
Sure. And so we do open camp next week. We'll be back with you next Friday. But some quick thoughts on what you guys are going to be looking for in the early days of training camp. Obviously, the Deion Branch situation. Do we all agree that we don't expect to see him July 28th, barring some major change of events between now and Friday?
I mean, it's been awfully quiet, and I know that a couple of the local writers have made a couple of attempts to have updates on the situation. There's just no new information being written about this. So I guess I agree with you guys. I mean, no news at this point. Probably would be a surprise if he's out on the field next Friday. At some point, he's going to have to come to the realization that, he's going to sign an extension or he's going to come back and play, but I'm not so sure he wants to sign the extension. I think this is a little bit of posturing on Branch's part, too. I think that, a year before free agency, he might just want to get to free agency. And
sure, and he'd certainly be doing himself as much harm as he would to the team if he were to extend this into the season and miss games. I mean, it's not like he's a 10-year veteran with 10 years of Pro Bowl experience. He still has a lot to prove if he's going to get a contract at the level of some of these other guys, even David Givens. So, I would say that there's a chance it turns out somewhat like Seymour last year, where they give him something, a little bump, not necessarily an extension, but a little bump for this year, and then it gets to free agency. We'll see about that.
I don't even think he's going to get get that. I really don't.
I don't think so. I think Seymour was sort of in a class class of his
own.
I
think Seymour is a special player, and I don't think Branch is. That's not an indictment of Branch. That's more of a praise. Yeah, a compliment to Seymour, because I just think that you have one or two guys on your team that are truly indispensable, and Seymour and Brady, in my opinion, maybe you want to throw Rodney Harrison in there based on what we saw last year. There aren't that many guys. Branch, I don't think, is an indispensable player. I think he's a very solid receiver, but I think you can get by without him.
Yep. Well, certainly some of the top sort of positional battles that are going to be waged during camp are definitely in the secondary, where, we mentioned how many offensive linemen there are. There are 19 defensive backs on the roster.
That's the position I'm most intrigued
with. No question about
it. Not just Hobbs and Samuel, but the backups, because if they don't look good early, then maybe that offer to Ty Law starts getting a little bigger.
Well, that's another situation. Ty Law, how deep into training camp does he wait until he actually settles on a deal? Does he, does he sort of have an idea of where he's going to end up? He's just saying, hey, I don't want to have to deal with two a days at the beginning. Who knows about that? Rodney Harrison, do we think he'll be, what status do you think we'll see him at next week?
I don't think we'll see much of him.
No?
Not early on in training camp.
And an interesting thing in the days leading up to training camp that I think it certainly doesn't get overlooked, but it's always interesting, is the PUP situation, because PUP, a player has to miss the first 6 weeks of the season. But in order to be on PUP, you have to be designated PUP before training camp even begins. You can't participate in any practices. You can't, for instance, get hurt in the second week of training camp and go on PUP.
That's correct.
If you go on PUP, it's got to be next Thursday.
Once you practice, PUP is not an option.
Right.
So I'm going to guess that they're going to leave that option open.
Sure.
For
I don't think
he'll go on PUP.
Right.
That option open for him.
I should change what I said. I don't think you have to, on next Thursday, be designated PUP and automatically you're into that 6 week of the season period. You don't have to decide that until the player doesn't ever practice.
Right. You open camp on the, on what I think they call it, the active PUP list. And then once camp ends and you have to get down to the 53-man roster, that's when the decision by Belichick would have to be made as to whether or not you're going to put him on an inactive PUP list and have him miss that six-week window that Bruschi did last year.
Right, exactly. All right, well, definitely lots to think about and gear up for as we get into next week. Very interestingly, there seem to be more two-a-days, at least public, open to the public, open to the media. Who knows if in the past they've had some two-a-days that aren't necessarily known.
That's what happens when you don't win the Super Bowl.
Kicking
it up a notch.
Exactly. But they have consecutive two-a-days as they open training camp next Friday and Saturday, then a single session on Sunday and double session again on Monday, and they have a pretty grueling first week and a half stretch there. All your training camp news and info, check out Patriots.com. Schedules, you can find out what's available for fans who are coming out here, including Patriots Experience, autographs, things like that. Definitely should be quite an experience. It's always enjoyable to see these guys in training camp.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Tom mentioned the defensive backs, and there's a lot of things Tom wrote about the defensive backs for our issue coming up. And, it's funny, everybody assumes Hobbs and Samuel, and I agree. But then there's anybody could be that nickelback. I mean, you have Randall Gay, Eric Warfield, Chad Scott. Who knows, if Ty Law comes here and that knocks everybody down.
That guy has a place in Belichick's heart, for sure.
Who knows if one of the safeties with cornerback experience, like Artrell Hawkins or Eugene Wilson or even Tabucky Jones, there's literally 5, 6, 7 candidates to be, quote-unquote, one of the regular five. Because you always have, in the NFL nowadays, you never have only four defensive backs on the field, unless it's a short yardage situation.
And like I said in the story, Bilo, Hank Poteet might not make the team, but it's almost a guarantee he'll play a down for the Patriots
at some point.
Point.
I don't think there's
but it was eye-opening just reading all the names that Tom was writing about. Just how many, you can't really rule almost any of them out.
No. And starting next week, of course, Roster Report will continue every Friday. Be sure to check out PFW in Progress on Wednesdays. Patriots Today, of course, up right now, and then starting every single day starting next Friday through training camp. A lot to look forward to here on Patriots.com. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Patriots Roster Report. For Paul Perillo and Tom Casale, I am Brian Lowe. Let's send it back to Laura.
Thanks, guys. Remember, next week starts our training camp. You can call our training camp hotline for the latest information for attending a public practice at 508-549-0001. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!